even from my background, there were times in my life I had no idea who I was. I knew what my first name was, my last name was. I knew who my grandparents were on both sides of my family. I knew my aunts and uncles, as far as being in this world, the physical man, Monty Hall, which I'm going to say something this morning most of y'all don't know. My actual name is Gerald Monroe Hall, Jr. That's my full legal name. I used to didn't like it. But in reverence and honor of my dad, I love it. I'm proud to be, as far as you know, not in a bad way. I'm honored to have the name Gerald Monroe Hall, Jr. because of my dad and his spiritual legacy that he gave me. But going deeper than that, who am I? We'll talk about me mostly this morning because I'm not pointing a judging finger at anybody, but God's Word tells us who we are and what we are. There's two groups of people in the world. Those that belong to God, they're born again, they're saved. And those that do not belong to God, the lost, the unsaved. The major difference between them is the man, Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed Son of God, came to earth, walked this earth, taught on this earth as a man. And we just celebrated his birth. And we celebrate every single day what he did for us on the cross and his death and the atoning power of his blood that he shed to give us back and redeemed us. And praise God, I am redeemed. You know how I know? Because I have no fathom way in my mind to go back to where I was at whenever I was lost. I will not go back. That's who I am. It's not so much the name Monty Hall. It's that whatever I am on my spirit on the inside, God knows me, and I am his, and I'm not ever going to let go of that. Today I want to talk mostly about the born-again people. First and foremost, if there's anybody here or anybody that hears my voice this morning, if you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, if you can't say to yourself, if I die right now, am I going to go spend eternity with God, then you need to find God's Word from a person, from the Bible. And know for a fact that when you leave this world through the door of death, you're going to spend eternity with the Lord God in heaven and have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and he's Lord of your life. If we are born again, since we are born again, this is something that I didn't mean to have a hard time with. I knew I was born again ever since I gave my prayer and my life to God here at this altar. And then I said, okay, what next, Lord? Well, things started happening in my life. Some of them I didn't understand, especially the trials. But praise God, for every trial I stepped up on, it was another step that God gave me. And I didn't have to worry about that no more if I did not worry about it. So in the born-again section, there's two types and categories of people. I call them the sitters and standers. The Bible calls them the hearers and the doers. I firmly believe that God did not send Jesus to die on the earth and what he on the cross on this earth and bring him as a man and for him to go through what he went through on the cross and pay what he paid because he had to pay the price because there was a price that was owed. Man give it up in the Garden of Eden. It had to be bought back. The only way that you could buy it back was with blood. Our blood was not good enough. It cannot be good enough. But praise God, Jesus was and is. He paid the price in full for every single person on earth. That price is so high, God puts a value on it that if you don't recognize it for what it is, it says in John chapter 3 that you're condemned already. And it wasn't God that condemned you. You condemn yourself if you so choose. But oh, praise God, if you choose it. Oh, praise God. I can stand up here and tell you this morning, I cannot begin to use the words if I knew enough big words, but the Holy Spirit can tell you in your heart, anybody that's born again, that you know you're redeemed. Born again believers are not only born again believers. Used to you could use the word Christians, and you still can, but the time has come in this world. People like to tag the word Christian on a lot of stuff that's not Christian. Oh, I'm a Christian faith. Them two words don't fit a lot of people. Not according to God's word. I've seen people that say they were Christian, they were of the Christian faith, but they no more believed God's word or acted like they believed God's word than a lot of lost people. So, therefore, you see, it appears, even though they don't seem to understand, a lot of people don't, when you do something like that and I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but the results of what you say don't match the results of what you do, then you're not honoring what God has given you. If I had the money to come pay your house off, and you say, oh yeah, thank you, and you throw it in the garbage, that's a little thing compared to your soul. The devil has so many people deceived today. And it's real easy to deceive people today, especially lost people. Oh, goodness gracious, I'm telling on myself a little bit. Y'all know how old I am. I'm 64. No big deal. I don't feel old. I don't remember when televisions first came out, but I remember not for long after that. I remember when there were some people that did not have televisions in their homes, and I do remember for a fact that people did not have telephones, and if they did, they were on a party line. That meant you and 15 other people on your street shared the same line. You picked the phone up. You had to wait till they got done talking before you could make a call. That was distracting enough. What do we got now? Cell phones, computers, laptops, watches, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. The social media list is so big now I don't even remember not all of it. And it is a sea of continuous distraction. What scientists would call white noise, that's what they call white noise that's there but you can't really see or hear. And the devil has people deceived, and sometimes even born-again believers. If a lot of times I got to in my life, and I can say my Christian life because I don't count what I used to live going to church as a younger man and a child mostly as my Christian life because I was not a Christian. I went to church because my mom and daddy took me to church, and I thank God they did. But I was not born again. Therefore, nothing that I absorbed sunk in and stayed. What I absorb now, it will stay. I have to choose to absorb it. And I've got it all from right here in this church mostly. Some of it I've got from studying. A lot of it I've got from studying and hearing other preachers. But the point is, it was God's word. I cannot fool myself to what I had done with it. I took in a lot of God's word and didn't do anything with it for a pretty good while, several years. And it feels good to be a sitter. You can be born again and come to church and sit in the church. And I'm not talking to anybody. I did it for a while. And not do anything. Now, I'm not saying you're not born again. You can be born again and do that. But who are you? When you come to church and sit, I'm going to try to talk fast enough, get through fast enough. I got way too many scriptures, but I ain't going to apologize. I can't help it. I get to reading God's word, and this scripture leads to that scripture, leads to this scripture, and it all ties together, and it blesses me, and I just want to put it out there. But I do not believe God sent Jesus into this world and paid the price that Jesus paid for us to be a sinner. That's just the beginning, being born again. Just like in this life is not what life is. When we go through the door of death as a born-again Christian, our life is really beginning. Because then eternity starts. And thank God this is not eternity. I mean, even though I enjoy coming to church and seeing all everybody here, and I like my life, I love my life, but I've got a lot better when coming. I praise God for that. I want to be a stander. Now, I'm not saying you can't be born again and come to church and make a stand in your life. You can. If you're born again, you've at least made the stand that you've accepted Jesus as your Savior and He's Lord of your life. But Jesus is going to lead you, and Holy Spirit inside you is going to lead you to do more than just do your sitting, standing while you're sitting. Now, all of this is not physical. You know, we, except for me, you guys are sitting. And whenever I'm down there, I'm sitting. But while we're sitting here, there's also people that take a stand. I'm talking about spiritually. I believe everybody nearly in this church has got a spiritual stand. Because why? We see it. We see what each other does in our lives and how it works and how we're blessed. And we work, since we're small in number, we work together to do a lot of that standing and working. And we have so much more. I love the word redeem because it means bought back. Brother Michael hit it nail on the head, and he said, restored back to a place. And not only that, we restored to more than what we had. Being born again, God gives us eternal life with Him, a good life here on earth, and more abundantly. We have, through Jesus, all of that in healing, the revelation of His Word through the Holy Spirit. We have joy. We have peace. If you're a born-again Christian, you don't have joy and peace in your life, you need to get with the Lord. I'm not saying you're not born again, but you need to cast down all the things that's not giving you joy and peace, because you can have it. I'm walking, living proof. Because there's a point in my life I didn't have joy and peace, but I knew I was born again. I knew it in here. But I had to learn to cast things down and take things away and then build up the ones that were bringing me joy and peace. And we have increasing faith in God. Now, I could take some scripture to make a whole message out of that. I think I'd about bored all of us to death in the men's meeting through Hebrews chapter 11. For that couple of months I did that. But I can't help it. The Lord laid it on my heart. I had to speak it. The joy I got from knowing that the faith that I used to get born again is also the faith that started my life for the Lord and keeps me in the Lord. And it increases. Like I said a while ago, the trials are a step. Right past that trial, there's a step of faith. And when you get across that step of that trial, the step of faith brings you even higher and higher. And we, just like Brother Scotty teaches, faith, we rise faith to faith and glory to glory. And we also have, not the last thing I want to say, not the least, praise God, we have the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit, not to mention the gift of power of bestowed upon us by receiving the Holy Spirit, evidenced by speaking in tongues. That changed my life. All of it changed my life. And each and every one of these things and more that I have talked about just in this list has changed my life so dramatically. I cannot spiritually just be still and set for myself. It doesn't feel right. I personally think that it is not good. I'm not going to say anybody, make judgment on anybody, but for me, if I get to a place where I'm just here and I don't go any further up in the Lord, I don't know how to describe it. It doesn't feel right. I feel something calling, longing. And I've got to where I'm at now and I have something calling and longing. I told April a little bit about it this morning. I got an idea, but I think I know where it's going. And it's fixing to hit me. And I'm going to be, praise God for it, because inside of me, it's like I just won the lottery. I just ain't got the money yet. And I love it. I do not ever want to become the hearer only of the Word. Yes, I do want to hear the Word. Every person out there has the ability, the anointed calling of God, to speak a word that could bring a revelation to me, any other person in the world or this room. especially if you're born again. If you're born again, you can have that in your life. I get it all the time from people. I've heard people say things and just all of a sudden a light go off my head and say, oh, praise God. And it does something. It helps me. People here in this congregation have done it. I've heard it while Brother Scott and Sister Teresa have been up here and other preachers have been up here. And I hang on to it. Used to, I say, well, you know, thank you, Lord. And I kind of just let it go to the wayside. I don't do that anymore. Whenever God quickens something to me, and I understand what that means now, thanks to my pastor, I hang on to it. I'm not going to let it go. You know why? Because I meant what I said in the altar here that day. Lord, I want what I seen those that I knew had it. I want it. And I'm not going to let it go. I want to be a doer of the word. So I see that my faith, and it tells us in John 3:16-17, use your faith to be born again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever should believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. As a child, that's one of the very first scriptures I learned to memorize. I don't have it anymore, but I used to have a Bible. We had a revival at Eastbrook Baptist Church in 1974, I think it was. And for the children, the man and woman that was carrying on the revival, for everybody under the age of 15, they had a Bible verse memory contest for all the scriptures you could memorize. Ever who won got a Bible. And I said, I wanted that Bible. It had a red cover on it. It was real pretty. For some reason, I just wanted it. So I told my mom and dad, I want to memorize some scriptures. My daddy told me, so start writing them down, son. That's how you remember them. He said, that's a gift God gives us. If you want to remember something, write it down. It will stick with you longer. So I did. And that was one of the first verses. And I thank God. As it turned out, me and a girl tied, and they gave us both a Bible. I won. Praise God. And I wished I still had it. During the course of my life, I lost it. But, hey, I got the Lord. But I thank God for that. And it says 3:17 is just as important. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but through him, the Son, the world might be saved. If you go on to read verse 18, I don't think I give them verse 18. That's what I was talking about a while ago. I won't quote it, but it's where Jesus telling Nicodemus, God says, verses 16, 17, if you do not accept the Son, you have condemned yourself already. That's not God's doing. That's the person's doing. So we see we have the faith to become a born-again believer. John 10:27, please. When you become born again, and you know you got it, and you know how you got it, because you know you belong. Belong. It's not that God owns you. We're all children at one time or another in our lives. Some of us, well, I consider myself not a child, but I'm a child of my mother and father. I was born to them. I belong to them. We belong to God. And it's, Jesus says here, this is one of the verses that become a revelation when Brother Scott is preaching it. It's been a while back. He says, my sheep hear my voice. And somebody might say, well, I never hear God. You know, I don't hear him. When he's talking about voice, he's not talking about what you're hearing me say. It's in here through the Holy Spirit. If you can say, I've never felt like God has spoke to me, there's another sign. You need to get with the Lord. Something's not right. Because Jesus said plainly, my sheep hear my voice and know them and follow me. If you need any more translation that, when Jesus speaks to you, the Holy Spirit speaks to you, God speaks to you, you know it's him if you belong to him, and you'll know it's him talking to you, and you will follow it. You will obey it. You will do it. That's who I am. That's who we are. Also in 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 through 6, we're made righteous to God through Jesus. It says, through Jesus himself, baptized not but his disciples. That's 1 John. I'm sorry. But we're made righteous through the Lord Jesus Christ. Did I not put it up there right? I'm sorry. I got a lot of them. Hereby know ye that the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. If anybody ever tells you that Jesus was not nothing but a man, nothing but a man like me and you, don't listen to them. There is a teaching out there that has been prevalent for a long time that does not give Jesus the honor of being God's son and a man. Don't listen to it. It tells us plainly right here. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. And I'm not talking about the person of the Antichrist in the end times. It's a spirit of Antichrist that started working almost immediately after Jesus ascended and went into heaven. It's anything that comes against Christ, that tries to take away his place, his glory. Because if you take that away, who are you? Who are we? Whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, which is where I'm going to in this long, drawn-out process I'm trying to do. Now, through Jesus, we see we have a born-again life. And life more abundantly. We know that. We see that and heard that in John 10:10 in here so much. Anybody that don't know it, you're not listening. And I'm talking about even if you ain't had the revelation, if you ain't heard John 10:10 out of this pulpit, not from me, then you're not listening to the sermon. I'm telling you. Brother Scott has made that very clear. And I appreciate you for it. I'm not trying to make light of it. Because it was a revelation to me. And I want life more abundantly. I like having a good life. That's where part of our joy comes from. But we're also more than that. Romans 8:37, please. We're a conqueror. We're more than conquerors. We not only have conquered sin and we're now born again, or the dominion of sin in our life. It tells us here, nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. That's a promise. I hang on to that. That's who I am. When I ask God for it right here in this altar, he give it to me. And that verse is my lifeline. I am his. I know his voice. We're also ambassadors. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. We'll go ahead. That's fine. I like this. We're ambassadors and we're also ministers. And I'm not talking about, you don't have to stand up and say, I've been called to preach. Every born-again Christian, God expects us to share the good news. That's what the word gospel means, is good news. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the good news that Jesus Christ has come and delivered us from the power of the dominion of sin and the curse of sin in our life. And it tells us here, it says, all these things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, I ain't saying that, you know, nobody, you don't have to, if you feel like God's calling you to preach, by all means preach. But you don't have to be a preacher to tell somebody about Jesus. I used to thought a little bit otherwise than that when I was a lot younger. But, and it says, to wit, that means in fact of, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and hath committed us unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. He's given us the word of reconciliation. And now, we're also ambassadors. With that, we are ambassadors of Christ. What is an ambassador? It is a place. If I had an ambassador for my household, I could send that ambassador. He would represent my household no matter where he went in the world. Even your own house. We have embassies, which an embassy is a place where ambassadors stay in this country, from other countries. What that means is that place where they're at is their country where they're staying. They are ambassadors, so they are bringing what their country has into this country, and we allow them to be here. We are ambassadors because we are born again. We have the ministry of reconciliation, the word of reconciliation. We're ambassadors for Christ to spread the gospel and the good news. That's who we are. That's what God wants us to do. What do you mean? You know, all you got to do is ask somebody, do you know Jesus is your personal Savior? You're going to get two or three different answers, and you'll, most people are not going to say no. Some will. And that is your open door for ministry right there. If you don't want to stand in front of other people and you don't want to teach children or the youth and you don't feel like it's for you or whatever, just do that. Trust me. Is it easy? The devil's going to tell you, no, it ain't easy. That's hard. But the Holy Spirit inside you, if you ever open your mouth and do it, it's going to be one of the easiest things you ever did, because two things are going to happen. You're going to open up the door in your life to call things from heaven down to earth, because you're spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's going to change your life forever if you've never done it. And every time you do that, it becomes more and more powerful in you. And I'm not telling you you're going to be like a big old bully, but you'll be bold. We're supposed to be meek, gentle as a lamb, and bold as a lion. What does that mean? We're not supposed to be, you know, somebody that nobody wants to be around because we're better than them, because we're born again. No, we're not better than them. We just know what God is and what Jesus did. That's the difference, Jesus in our lives. But to be bold is to not to sit back and pretend like nothing is happening in your life when you know that the Lord Jesus Christ has saved you. That's a sticky little situation for a lot of Christians. Some people will go as far as they'll go to door to door in a neighborhood. I've done it before in my past, and going along with my dad. Some people will do it if they happen to meet anybody somewhere, don't matter, gas pump, in the store. I heard a story one time, Brother Ed Ballou, when he was doing a revival, there was this lady, he said, he called her name, but I never met her, didn't know anything about her. But he said she had a reputation, she carried a great big old handbag. Back in the 70s, a lot of women carried purses that looked like backpacks today. But this particular lady carried this purse, and it's a big old purse, and she had nothing in it but gospel tracts. And everybody know what that is? A little piece of paper that's got things, news about Jesus on it, witness to people. Here, that's the easiest thing you do. Here, I'm going to give you something to read. They'll either throw it down, give it back to you, or they'll take it. And Brother Ed said that he was at a street, at a tent revival somewhere, and the lady on her way there had stopped somewhere on the side of the road and stopped traffic and was giving out gospel tracts until the police called and they had arrested her. And they said when the police got there, they said, ma'am, she was talking to people on the two-lane road and holding up traffic. The traffic was lined up. And she's talking to them and witnessing to them. And when they would finally get away from her, she'd get the next car. Well, they called the police, and they arrested her for holding up traffic. And I'll never forget the story. Brother Ed said when the police got there, and it was not far from the camp meeting, they asked her, some ma'am, she said, you're holding up traffic. You can't be doing this. What are you doing? She said, well, I'm telling people about Jesus. Because in her mind, that was a very good reason to be holding up traffic. That woman was not a hearer of the word only. Well, you know what she did when they went to put the handcuffs on her? To take her, because they arrested her. She said, hang on a minute. She reached in her bag and gave the policeman. Said, here, I can give you something to read. I'd like to have that testimony. That's a great one. That's who she is. That's what Jesus meant to her. So we're conquerors, we're ambassadors. We've given the ministry of reconciliation, the word of reconciliation. We're overcomers. 1 John 5:4, we've heard the scripture. I've heard it a lot in my life too. For whatever is born of God is victorious over the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world. This is the Amplified Classic Version, Even Our Faith. Man, that says a lot. When I got revelation of that, praise God, let's go. And I still like it. I still love it. I'm born of God. I'm victorious. I'm an overcomer. So I've got all of these things, but I'm an overcomer. Mark 9:23 says, all things are possible to them that believe. I believe. I believe John 10:27. I believe Mark 9:23. I believe Mark 10:10. I believe Matthew 6:33. It says, seek ye first the righteousness of God, and all these things will be added to you. I believe in prosperity, first of all spiritually, and then second of all, God will bless us in our lives here on this earth. But to get to this point, I did not sit down and this fall in my lap. Number one, I had to want to be born again. I had to want something I did not have. Then after I got born again, yet again, I had to want something I did not have fully. All of this is already made and ready and available to me, but I did not have it yet. So when I got the revelation that I'm an overcomer, that was a giant stepping stone in my life, because I had trial after trial after trial come to me. And they weren't very big ones in the grand scheme of things, but they were enough to get me to sit back and not do much of anything except pray and ask God what was going on. Lord, I know I'm born again. Why am I going through this? Lord, I need your help. But it wasn't until I realized I'm saying all the wrong things at the wrong time. I'm doing all the wrong things at the wrong time. Now, I was not trying to be rebellious, because before I got born again, and sometimes after I'm born again, I work real hard not to be. Because before I was born again, I was the most rebellious person you ever saw in your life. My mother, out of her own mouth, said when I was 2 to 3 years old, she had to use reverse psychology things on me to get me to get up on the couch and sit down and behave. She'd tell me, don't you get up there, I'll spank you. Man, that's bad. That spirit carried on over into my life. At times, it wasn't as strong as others, but it led me down some really bad, dark roads in my life. And now that I'm born again, I understand through revelation. I got, while I was reading the Bible one day in a dump truck in Birmingham, that rebellion is disobedience and witchcraft to God. It don't matter what it is. And I've had to swallow some stuff that I really did not like, because I don't want to be rebellious. I'm an overcomer. To be an overcomer, I can't be in rebellion. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh, so is he. That was another big stepping stone, because I used to kind of, I didn't pity myself, but I go, man, Lord, why, Lord, why, Lord? I hate to say it, I was a worrier. I'm not a worrier anymore. If something concerns me, I pray about it and give it to the Lord, and then I seek God's voice, because I'm His, to what I'm going to, that He's going to show me how to fix that problem in my life. Jesus defeated every single thing that will ever come against us as a born-again Christian in our life on the cross. everything. He didn't only give us life, eternal life, and life more abundantly. That's just the beginning, if you want to call it that. Oh my goodness. Joy, peace, conquerors, ambassadors, ministers. And then you get into the anointing and the fivefold ministry. And I mean, it goes on and on. So much so I don't have time to list every single thing. But Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 15, please. 6 through 15. This was another stepping stone for me. It says, as you have therefore received Christ, have you received Christ? As you have therefore received Christ, even Jesus the Lord, so walk and regulate your lives. This is the Amplified Version. And conduct yourselves in union with and conformity to Him. Having the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in Him, fixed and founded in Him, being continually built up in Him, become increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and abounding and overflowing in it with thanksgiving. See to it that no one carries you off as spoil, deceives you, and make yourselves captive by his so-called philosophy and intellectualism. There's a lot of that junk going around nowadays. It's been there forever, but it's even more now. And vain deceit, idle fancies, and plain nonsense, following human tradition. Human tradition will get us in more trouble than you can imagine. Man's ideas are material rather than the spiritual world. Just crude notions, following the rudimentary and elemental teachings of their universe and disregarding the teachings of Christ the Messiah. All of those things will disregard Jesus. Remember what it said in 1 John? Confess that Jesus is the man and the Son of God and the teachings. For in Him the whole fullness of deity, the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression of the divine nature. It's talking about Jesus. And you, me, us, born again, are in Him, made full and having come to the fullness of life. In Christ you too are filled with the Godhead. That is not a strange teaching. That's God's Word through Jesus. Yet, something else we have. Father, in Christ you too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and reach full spiritual stature. And He is the head of all rule and authority of every angelic principality and power. That does not mean necessarily holy. There's angelic principalities and powers that are evil in this world. In Him also you were circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands, but in a spiritual circumcision performed by Christ by stripping off the body of the flesh, the whole corrupt carnal nature with its passions and lust. In other words, Jesus did it, and He gave us everything we need, and we can do that. Sometimes that isn't easy. The word lust here, like Sister Teresa's told us so many times, has nothing to do expressly with the sexual part. A strong desire of anything can be lust, and usually it's bad. Thus you were circumcised when you were buried with Him in your baptism. This is simply saying, when we were baptized, when they take you in the water, that's symbolic. Says it right here. Circumcision, were buried with Him when you're baptized, in which you were also raised up to Him. That's what our water baptism is symbolic of. To a new life. Behold, you are a new creature. Through your faith in the working of God is displayed when He raised Him up from the dead. So your water baptism is a symbolic gesture of Christ raising up from the dead, out of being resurrected out of the grave. And you who were dead in trespasses in the circumcision of your flesh, your sensuality, your sinful carnal nature, God brought to life together with Christ, having freely forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled and blotted out and wiped away the handwriting of the note, the bond. Remember I told you there was a price had to be paid for the curse of sin? Jesus paid it. We don't have to pay it. Having canceled and blotted out and wiped away the handwriting of the note bond with its legal decrees and demands, which was in force and stood against us, it was hostile to us. This note with its regulations, decrees, and demands, he set aside and cleared complete out of the way by nailing it to his cross. All Christians, when you're born again believers, you don't have a rear view mirror. Your past is your past. God don't hold it against you. If you're born again, you move forward. That's what God means for us to do. And now, Jesus doing all that he's done for us. It says here, God disarmed the principalities and the powers that were ranged against us and made a bold display and public example of them in triumphing over them in him, talking about Jesus, and in it the cross. If somebody ever asks you, said, what does the cross mean? You're a Christian, what does the cross mean? That's what it means right there. That cross is a symbol that Jesus died on that, and he gave us and everything we need, and he has conquered everything that came against us in mind, body, spirit, and in this world, any principality, any power. He took it, and he defeated it, and he conquered it, and he is over it, and he's in victory. And through him, we have this. Man, that's powerful. When that scripture right there boomed in my head, I said, man, I've been fighting this by myself like an idiot. And there's no fighting it. All you got to do is Mark 9:23, believe. When you believe that and it's made quick into your spirit, you won't ever have, I ain't going to say you won't ever have problems, but you shouldn't have much problem. Because you go back, when you have another problem, you do the same thing again. Jesus nailed it to the cross. I am a conqueror, more than a conqueror. I'm his ambassador. It means I give what he gave me. We're running out of time. I ain't got time to go through it all. The next step, I'm going to get this one done, and I'm going to just 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. Scotty West, my pastor, my friend, thank you. How many times I've heard my pastor quote this scripture, but I know when this one got me. It was about 2 years ago in this church. It was quickened and made revelation to me. I'm trying to do everything that I know to do. That's where I messed up. I need to do things that I know Jesus did for me. I need to rely on him and rely on God and God's word. And whenever I can't find something that I think, me, that God can help me with, then I go here. Because my everyday life, Jesus paid a price for me to live it if I believe that he died for me. And to live it virtually, as far as I can do, free of sin, curse of sin, worry, financial stress, stress of any kind. Now, is it easy to do? That depends on the person. For me, it wasn't easy because I wouldn't do it. And when I read this, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. What does that mean? We live here on this earth. The war we're fighting is not a war that's not been won. Jesus already won it. The war we're fighting is against ourselves. You'll never find another person in this world that's harder to fight against than your own self. Or at least I didn't. Because you have to convince yourself and believe that God's word is true, and then you have to do it. There's just no other way around it. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You know what that tells me? That there are things in this world that's strong, but they can be pulled down. Things against me, they were pulled down. I've just got to believe it and do it. Casting down imaginations. Do you know how many times over the past couple of years I learned when a certain thought or something comes to me, I say, it's not mine, I'll cast it down, Lord. I ain't going to think that, I ain't going to think it. Guess what happens? It goes away for a more opportune time. And then I do it again, it goes away, never comes back for a while. And every high thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing it into captivity. Captivity. It's not walking around here free, it's in captive. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. I'm going to have to stop because I went a minute over. If you go to Ephesians chapter 6, it gives you all the weapons of our warfare. And then as an overcomer, if you go to Revelation and read the first three chapters of Revelation, Jesus gives us, I'm going to do this because I told April I would. Our little granddaughter, whenever she wants something else, she'll say, more. You go to Revelation chapter 2 and 1 through 3 and you'll find more that Jesus gives us. That's all I got this morning.